Good morning. Good evening. Wrong one. Now Trevor doesn't feel alone, since he said that earlier. Well, thanks for gathering with us tonight. And something that I was thinking about as I was getting this together and prepping for this evening, not this morning, this evening, I was thinking about this would have been a much different night for the disciples, much different night for the Pharisees, Sadducees, scribes. It would have been a different night for them and for Christ, for the disciples. We have the risen Christ. They had the Christ in the flesh who had foretold them that he was going to be going to the cross, but they themselves did not understand or see what he was about to do. And not many days before, we have him entering into Jerusalem, and he's presented before the people, and he's praised as a king. And now we have a much different scenario on this night, as we call Good Friday, which I know some people have talked about and said it's not really the good that we're talking about and saying that it's a Good Friday, but it is good because it was all established by God and it was all appointed by God to happen, because without it, we wouldn't have a risen Savior. So I thank the Lord for that. Let's pray together, and then we'll sing. Father, I just thank you for this evening. I thank you for each of us that have gathered here now. And I just ask that we would have a joyous time as we worship in song and in word, remembering what you have done for us, and remembering those who went through the pain and anguish of their Savior being taken. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's stand together as we sing this song. Matthew 26, verse 26 to 35. Now as they were eating, Jesus took bread, and after blessing it, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink again of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus said to them, "You will all fall away because of me this night. For it is written, 'I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered.' But after I am raised up, I will go before you to Galilee." Peter answered him, "Though they all fall away because of you, I will never fall away." Jesus said to him, "Truly I tell you, this very night, before the rooster crows, you will deny me 3 times. Peter said to him, "Even if I must die with you, I will not deny you." And all the disciples said the same.
This is Matthew 26, 20 to 25. When it was evening, he reclined at the table with the 12. And as they were eating, he said, "Truly I say to you, one of you will betray me." And they were very sorrowful and began to say to him one after another, "Is it I, Lord?" He answered, "He who has dipped his hand in the dish with me will betray me. The Son of Man goes as it is written of him, but woe to the man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that man if he had not been born." Judas, who would betray him, answered, "Is it I, Rabbi?" He said to him, "You have said so." And Matthew 26, 14 to 16. Then one of the 12, whose name was Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and said, "What will you give me if I deliver him over to you?" And they paid him 30 pieces of silver. And from that moment, he sought an opportunity to betray him.
Mark 14, 10 to 11. Then Judas Iscariot, who was one of the 12, went to the chief priests in order to betray him to them. And when they heard it, they were glad and promised to give him money, and he sought an opportunity to betray him.
Feel free to stand or sit as we sing this next song.
Love so amazing.
have a seat if you'd like.
I'm going to be reading from Matthew chapter 26, carrying on from verse 36 to 56. Then Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." And taking with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, "My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch with me." And going a little farther, he fell on his face and prayed, saying, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." And he came to the disciples and found them sleeping, and he said to Peter, "So, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Again, for the second time, he went away and prayed, "My Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done." And again he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. So leaving them again, he went away and prayed for the third time, saying the same words again. Then he came to the disciples and said to them, "Sleep and take your rest later on. See, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand." While he was still speaking, Judas came, one of the 12, and with him a great crowd with swords and clubs from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now the betrayer had given them a sign, saying, "The one I will kiss is the man. Seize him." And he came up to Jesus at once and said, "Greetings, Rabbi," and he kissed him. Jesus said to him, "Friend, do what you came to do." Then they came up and laid hands on Jesus and seized him. And behold, one of those who were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. Then Jesus said to him, "Put your sword back into its place, for all who take the sword will perish by the sword. Do you think that I cannot appeal to my Father, and he will at once send me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then should the scriptures be fulfilled that it must be so?" At that hour, Jesus said to the crowds, "Have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs to capture me? Day after day I sat in the temple teaching, and you did not seize me. But all this has taken place that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled." Then all the disciples left him and fled.
Reading from Luke chapter 22, starting at verse 63. Now the men who were holding Jesus in custody were mocking him as they beat him. They also blindfolded him and kept asking him, "Prophesy, who is it that struck you?" And they said many other things against him, blaspheming him. Let's stand and sing together.
See the King who made the sun.
I don't know if you remember the reading earlier, but it was from Matthew 26, 31 to 32, and it said, "Then Jesus said to them, 'You will all fall away because of me this night. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I am raised up, I will go before you to Galilee.'" It was God's will for Christ to die. And it was his will that the disciples would scatter. It was God's will that Jesus would bear the cross. It was God's will that he would die a death like a criminal. This is the sovereignty of God at hand. It was not Peter's will that he would deny Jesus. Peter was positive that he would not. He was willing to be imprisoned and go to death for his Lord, is what he thought. And Peter was ready for battle. And as we saw earlier and read earlier too, it was Peter was the one that cut off the ear. Peter was ready to do what he needed to do for his Lord. But then his Lord told him that he didn't need to hold a sword and to fight this battle with a sword. So Peter was the one that cut the man's ear off. Then his Lord is taken from him, and he follows at a distance. Luke 22, 31 to 34 says, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan demands to have you, that he might sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you, that your faith may not fail." I want to read that again. "But I have prayed for you." This is Jesus. "I have prayed for you, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned again, strengthen your brothers." Peter said to him, "Lord, I am ready to go with you both to prison and to death." Jesus said, "I tell you, Peter, the rooster will not crow this day until you deny three times that you know me." Satan himself comes to steal and to kill, but Jesus comes to bring life through power over death. Jesus stood on Peter's behalf. Jesus stood in on Peter's behalf. What God gave, God will hold. This reminds me of the song, maybe you've heard of it, "He Will Hold Me Fast." We're not going to sing it. I'm not singing it. Luke 22, 54 to 62. "Then they seized him and led him away, bringing him into the high priest's house." This is Jesus. "And Peter was following at a distance. And when they had kindled the fire in the middle of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat down among them. Then a servant girl, seeing him as he sat in the light and looking closely at him, said, 'This man also was with him.' But he denied it, saying, 'Woman, I do not know him.' And a little later, someone else saw him and said, 'You also are the one.' But Peter said, 'Man, I am not.' And after an interval of about an hour, still another insisted, 'Certainly, this man also was with him, for he too is a Galilean,'" as they would have noticed by his accent. "But Peter said, 'Man, I do not know what you are talking about.' And immediately, while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed, and the Lord turned and looked at Peter. And Peter remembered the saying of the Lord, how he had said to him, 'Before the rooster crows today, you will deny me three times.' And he went out and wept bitterly." Another portion of scripture, Mark 14:72, it says, "And immediately the rooster crowed a second time, and Peter remembered how Jesus had said to him, 'Before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times.' And he broke down and wept." And Mark specifically says he broke and wept. And in Luke, we have that he wept bitterly. But something that I wanted you to take note of is when it said that, "And the Lord turned and looked at Peter." I don't know if you know, but in John chapter 1, verse 42, it was stating that God had seen him as well. Well, Jesus, I should say. He brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, the son of John. You should be called Cephas," which means Peter. That was when Peter was being called as a disciple and a follower of Jesus Christ. Jesus looked at him. Now we have Jesus looking at Peter again, but in a different way. He has denied his Lord and Savior, the one who he followed for a few years. But Peter was called to bring the glory of God to his people and to shepherd them. Jesus saw Peter, and he would keep Peter. What a way to be reminded of your denial. The one you love and said you would die for, and now you deny, looks you in the face. The weight, the overwhelming sorrow, pain, and anguish, everything flows back to his mind at the Passover supper with Christ. Peter thought he would willingly die for his Savior. Peter didn't understand that he would do exactly as what Christ foretold, because Peter thought the opposite. Now Peter is faced with the reality that he did deny his Savior, and he broke and wept bitterly. His Lord was taken from him to be crucified, and he didn't understand why his Lord should die. And now he is broken with the fact that he has denied him. Something else I want you to take note of tonight is that Judas was sorry, but he was only sorry because he sees that he betrayed an innocent man. And in Matthew 27, 3-10, Judas didn't weep over his betrayal when forfeiting his Savior to gain wealth. He just saw that he had did something wrong. Judas was a thief. Judas wanted others to think he was something that he was not. Judas came to the priest in hopes that he could be forgiven from his apostasy. Then he took his own life. Man does not give us forgiveness. Judas couldn't find forgiveness from the priests. Judas never repented, really. Judas forfeited Christ for the gain of the world. And when the gain of the world wasn't enough, he murdered himself. Peter, on the other hand, which we've been talking about, denies his Savior three times. But it was Christ who interceded on Peter's behalf. I think that's really something we need to take note of with this whole thing that we've been going through and singing together and reading together, is that Christ intercedes for us, and Christ interceded on our behalf. Maybe Peter was reminded that Jesus interceded for him when he realized that he had denied him, when his Lord and Savior looked at him face to face when he was going to his death. It is Christ who saves us, and Christ who, in Hebrews 7:25, says, "Consequently, he is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them." As we know, he's died and he's rose. Jesus needed to die in order that we who have been called would have eyes to see and hearts to believe. Another thing I want to do with bringing it home tonight for us is just that maybe we are here tonight. Maybe we're dealing with a few issues within our own lives, some sin in our life. Maybe you've thought, "I feel like Judas." And you can't see that sin is crouching at your door, wanting to take hold of you, because you would rather stay in your sin than repent and believe in your Lord. Well, I'm thankful that we have Peter's account as well, and not just Judas's, where Judas went and murdered himself. We have Peter, burdened with sin, but he wasn't hopeless. Know this: God was willing that you would be here tonight, at this very moment, at this very time, here to hear about our Savior. Christ has paid the price for all of you. So we need to open our eyes and see that Christ, our Savior, is nearby. Trust completely in the work of Christ, for he will intercede on your behalf. Something that I as well find amazing is in John 17, going the wrong way. John 17, when you have the high priestly prayer, I really recommend tonight to read through that. John 17, verses 1 to 26, if you can. Take the time, think about yourself, and just think about how your Lord and Savior stands in on your behalf. And he intercedes before you, before the Father. Just like we've been singing, his blood was shed for us. Who would believe? And if we believe, then he has opened our eyes to be able to believe. So we have something great to rejoice in. Good Friday is a time to remember what Christ did for us and how he completed the work. Not just at what we've been hearing, the first parts of it, when he was betrayed, when those who he come for did not love him. They wanted to murder him. The scribes, the Pharisees, they sought to do it. Judas himself took money in order to see the one that he was following be betrayed. But Peter denies him. But Peter sees the Lord face to face, and he weeps bitterly over what he has done. On Sunday, we'll hear a little bit more about Peter's whole situation and his whole bringing back, or the Lord bringing him back, totally bringing him back, him seeing the risen Christ. But Good Friday is Good Friday for a reason, because it is good, because Christ had to go through everything that he went through so that we could, at this very moment, stand here together and worship and praise him. And on that, let's sing our last song.
Feel free to stand if you'd like.
Beyond the
Before you leave tonight, if you do need prayer or if you're battling with anything, please feel free to come. I can pray with you, and I'm sure there's others that would be more than willing to pray with you. So on that note, let's pray right now. Father, I just thank you for this evening. I thank you that we can read the scriptures and we can see all the beatings, all the bruises, all the pain that you went through on that night when you were betrayed and you were denied and your disciples scattered out of fear, not understanding, not knowing what was going on, not understanding why their Lord was being taken, why the one that they followed for so long was now being ripped away from them. I thank you that we have those accounts to read over and to know that they are fully true accounts, fully accurate, and we can stand firm on them. And we too can share that same message with the world. And Father, if there is anyone here tonight that is battling with sin in their life and they're feeling like it's just such a burden, let them know that it can be lifted and they just need to come to the foot of the cross. In Jesus' name, amen. Go in peace.